All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
And welcome to Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Thronberry. I was a chief warrant officer in 1969, United States Army in the beautiful Republic of Vietnam. I want to welcome you to our special program today. This is Father's Day, and so today we're asking that you give us a call here on Veterans Radio to tell us what your dad did when they were in the service. It could be from any war, any time, peacetime, doesn't make any difference. We just want to hear from you today to tell us what your dad was up to. The number to call the studio is 734-822-1600. That's 734-822-1600. Derek will be answering the phone, and let me know that you're there, and we'll bring you on the air as soon as we can. So I appreciate that very much. As I said, I'm really excited. We've gotten some emails from people over the last week of stories. They didn't want to come on the air, so I will be reading their stories to you as we go along. And if we have time, maybe I'll tell you a little bit about my story and my dad, of course. It's quite a story for many of us out there for what our fathers had done during their times in the service. And I think it's important that we keep those stories alive. And so please, give us a call. I think it's really important. 734-822-1600. First of all, I want to thank all of our sponsors for helping out to keep Veterans Radio going. We've been doing this now for almost 17 years, which is really hard to believe. And we've got so many more stories to tell, and we want to tell yours. So we want to thank our sponsors. Number one, of course, is Legal Help for Veterans, and Legal Help for Veterans is a veterans disability law firm. That's what they specialize in, is disability claims. And for more information, you can go to their website. That's legalhelpforveterans.com, or give them a call at 800-693-4800. We also want to thank U.S. Wings, and U.S. Wings are the manufacturers of the finest leather flight jackets, according to their Sergeant Hack, in the world. U.S. Wings is a major supplier of leather flight jackets to the military. For more information, you can go to their website, that's uswings.com, and their phone number is 800-650-0659. And we want to welcome a new sponsor to the program, and this is the National Veterans Business Development Council, better known as the NVBDC. And the NVBDC's main purpose is to certify that a veteran-owned business is just that, veteran-owned. This is really important with veteran-owned businesses that want to do business with the government and veteran-friendly corporations. Many of them would love to do business with a veteran-owned business, but they got to find out if it's actually owned by a veteran. So we encourage you to go to their website. That's nvbdc.org. That's nvbdc.org. Or you can give them a call at 888-237-8434. 888-237-8434. And, of course, we want to thank our local veteran service organizations. And that includes, of course, American Legion Post Number 46, the VFW Post 423, and the VVA Post 310, the Charles Kettles VVA Post, all of Ann Arbor, Michigan. We thank you all for your sponsorship, for your financial assistance. It's greatly appreciated. Without you, we couldn't stay on the air. If you want to help out, you can also go to veteransradio.net and make a donation, because Veterans Radio is now a nonprofit 501c3, a nonprofit corporation. So you could help us out. Greatly appreciated. Thank you. Before we get into your calls about what your parents did, or your mom or your dad, especially your dad, did during the service, we've got a guest on the phone. The Yankee Air Museum sent out a flyer this week about Father's Day gifts, special Father's Day gifts. And I've got a guest on the phone who's responsible for all of this at the Yankee Air Museum. And so I'm going to bring him on right now. And that's Kevin Walsh. Kevin, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you, Dale. Always a pleasure to be here.
It's always a pleasure to talk with you, Kevin. So, during this time, we've all been kind of having difficulty wanting to get out and, you know, do things and get in the fresh air and stuff. And you've got a great opportunity to get some people into a lot of fresh air. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the museum is officially reopening Tuesday, June 30th, a week from Tuesday coming up here. We're super excited to welcome the public back. And, of course, with the opening of the museum, that comes part and parcel to what we do best and what is, you know, what we're known for, and that's those air adventures. That's the ability for folks to get up and experience a ride in a vintage aircraft. And last year in late fall, under not a lot of fanfare, we acquired one of our latest additions to that flyable fleet that people can experience these rides and these historic aircraft. We got ourselves a UH-1H Huey helicopter that actually is traced back historically to serving in Vietnam with the 240th Assault Helicopter Company, and we couldn't be more proud to own this piece of history, but even more, allow people to get in it and actually take a short flight in it. And those flights are starting just inside of July, and we're super excited to start taking passengers in these aircraft.
Well, I'm really excited about that because the 240th Assault Helicopter Company was one of the sister companies of mine when I was in Vietnam, and they were stationed in Bear Cat, South Vietnam. That is east of Saigon, so it's all in the Three Corps area. But they were the Greyhounds, and we used to, metaphorically, we would run into them occasionally and, you know, on missions and so on and so forth. So I'm anxious to come out and check this thing out. And I understand that you are looking for pilots, and somebody told me all I have to do is pass the physical, which would be kind of an amazing thing in its own.
You know, it was funny. Before we acquired the aircraft, we talked to a couple other operators around the country that have Huey helicopters, and we said, you know, how hard is it to find pilots to fly these? And they said, don't worry about the pilots. That'll be the least of your worry. They will come out of the woodwork. That has been nothing but the truth. And we have so many good folks that want to maintain and fly this piece of history for us. There's no shortage of good help. Like with all the amazing volunteers at the Yankee Air Museum, they're all there ready, raring to go. It's really, really spectacular.
It is great, and I didn't realize I had flown in a vintage aircraft.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah, we're really referring to the Huey as that. I mean,
I know.
Going back to the H model, they really don't fly them anymore in the military. So they are certainly a warbird now, but an important piece of history. And the Yankee Air Museum has always been well known for its World War II fleet of flying aircraft and some of the most iconic aircraft from that era. But, really, it's important to evolve, and it's important to not just showcase one global conflict. And Vietnam was certainly such an impactful conflict on so many of today's generations and obviously, generations coming up, that, it's good to represent this aircraft. It's good to represent that era and tell the stories, because all too often we really get wrapped up in the stories of World War II. And there's a lot of incredible things that Americans did in Vietnam, and it's important for people to experience that, know and understand. No matter the politics of it, it's just an important piece of American history that should be recognized.
Well, we certainly hope so. I can think of at least 200 or 300 people in the local area that'll be probably lined up as soon as it's available for a flight. So, how do we go about getting tickets? One of the reasons that I wanted you on the program when talking with Kevin Walsh here from the Yankee Air Museum is that you're offering gift certificates, so people can buy a gift certificate to give to dad or uncle or whoever you want to do. So how would we go about doing that?
Yeah, so it's really, really simple. Our website is the one-stop shop for everything. You can go to our website. You can buy the gift certificate. And I would recommend buying the gift certificate so that dad or whoever you're buying the gift for – can go on our website and book a flight through the website, through the online reservation system, for whatever date and time is most convenient. So we encourage folks to say, you know, to get that gift certificate just so that the flexibility is there for the person that you're buying the gift for to book the ride that's best for their schedule. If you want to go direct and actually book a flight or multiple flights at a certain time and date, then you can go right to the website again. YankeeAirMuseum.org is sort of the one-stop shop. And I should mention, Dale, too, that we have not been in the dark about everything that's been going on, and we have basically curtailed the rides on these aircraft now for distancing. So folks are not sitting cheek to jowl, and the rides will be operated very safely, and riders will be asked to wear face coverings during the flight, even though the doors will be open. We still are taking a lot of precautions. There'll be questionnaires, et cetera, just like you're encountering at most businesses. Our COVID response plan and guidelines will be in effect, so that people can come out and take a safe flight and not be crammed next to other people. Makes it a little tougher for the Yankee Air Museum, obviously, for our revenue model. But it's a mission that we can carry forward safely, even in today's world with restrictions. We're really, really proud to be able to still be able to operate, but keep people safe, safely distant while they take their ride.
Okay, well, I encourage people to do that, to go to YankeeAirMuseum.org. You check these things out. There are rides from vintage aircraft from World War II all the way up through Vietnam now. So do that. Maybe we'll see you all out there on the field sometime. While I've got you on the phone real quick, are you still planning on holding an air show possibly?
Yeah, we are, and possibly is the right word right now. We have a number of different models, socially acceptable type models that we're looking at. Obviously, the air show cannot occur in its normal form. The air show was, by all definitions, a mass gathering. So we're trying to be creative. We're trying to keep it going for this year. We've got a couple ideas, and we're vetting it with public health officials, state officials, et cetera, to see if there's some type of version that would be very safe, acceptable, and that also people would feel comfortable. We recognize, too, that even though we're kind of getting back in the groove and we're sort of slowly dialing up Michigan's economy again and business and whatnot, we understand that people also don't have a desire to go, you know, sit cheek to jowl next to somebody at a special event. So
right.
We're working really, really hard and hope to have an announcement within the week as to a format that would be acceptable for all parties, and also something that would be very safe and comfortable for the general public to attend and realize that, we've taken every precaution possible to make sure that it's a very safe and fun event. But it would look very, very different, too. It's not going to be the standard format the air show would normally take.
Right. But still, I would encourage people, if you guys are going to be opening up in July, go to their website, YankeeAirMuseum.org, to check on when they're opening. Just the static displays is worth the time and effort to go out there. It's a great place. Thank you, Kevin, so very much for being on our program today. Have a great Father's Day.
Yeah, same. Thank you, Dale. Appreciate it.
Okie doke. All right, we're going to take a really quick break. I see we've got a couple of calls lined up on the phone. So get in line, folks. The number is 734-822-1600, 734-822-1600. What did your dad do in the service? We'll be right back after these messages.
This is Thomas Redd.
The Rascal Flatts.
Hey, this is Jake Owen.
This is Florida Georgia Line.
Hey, this is Charlie Daniels.
Fisher House gives wounded warriors, veterans, and military families a no-cost place to stay during a medical crisis. The homes are built right on the grounds of major VA and military medical centers. The design helps people get together and make friends and support one another. You can help. Find out how at fisherhouse.org.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans' Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
And we are back here on Veterans Radio on our Father's Day program. And joining me on the phone right now is a good friend of ours, retired Navy captain, Reg Williams. And Reg, welcome back to Veterans Radio.
Well, thank you, Dale, and thank you for having me on.
Well, thank you. Thank you for reaching out and contacting me about your dad. So tell me a little bit about Reginald Charles Williams.
Yeah, that was my dad, and what was interesting was he was drafted in the Army, of course, during World War II, and he was deployed to India because he was a locomotive engineer, and he helped move supplies across India to the Allies during the war. And I read something about the fact that that was a major turning point in the war of getting those supplies across India. And he was discharged from the Army as a private first class in May of 1946 after 2 years of enlistment. His military experience, you know, led to his career working as a railroad man, so it really had an impact on what he did for the rest of his life. And I learned much later that he had never gotten his medals that he qualified for when he was in the service. So I wanted to rectify that, so I got a copy of his honorable discharge, and I ordered the medals and the ribbons and put them in a shadow box and obtained a certificate from President George Bush at the time and did a small award ceremony at the assisted living facility that he and my mother were living in their later years. I put on my Navy uniform, which was a kick, and had him come forward and salute me. I told the audience of about, and it was about 50 people in the room at the time, and I said, my father this is the first time my father had to salute me. So they got a big charge out of that. So the ceremony corrected a wrong. And he beamed with pride. Oh, my goodness, did he beam. And he displayed and treasured that shadow box until he died. He truly represented, I think, in my mind, the that statement of the greatest generation. So that's the story about my dad.
Well, I think that's a great story. You know, those shadow boxes do become so important to people, I think, as they get older. Because, you know, whoever you are, whenever you were in the service, it turns out it was really one of the more important times in your life.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
To be recognized like that and to actually, you know, have his son in his Navy uniform, you know, salute. I think that's great. That's great. Thank you, Reg. That's a great story. I appreciate it very much.
Well, you're welcome, Dale. And it was great talking to you, and happy Father's Day.
Same to you. Same to you. All right.
Thank
we've
you,
got
sir.
Another caller on the line here on Veterans Radio where we're paying our respects and are honoring our fathers. And this is Michelle from Portage, Michigan. And she is talking to us about her dad, Chief Warrant Officer Joseph Guerin. So, Michelle, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you for having me on.
Well, thank you for contacting us. And I'm anxious to hear the story of your dad.
Well, my father, he first joined the Navy. He basically volunteered and joined the Navy. And after being in for a while, he would get so seasick, he was actually discharged from the Navy, and he reenlisted with the Army. So my father was in California, and I apologize, don't know exactly which base, but he was there when Pearl Harbor was hit. And so my father's career started there, and he was actually a supply sergeant, and he was part of the unit that actually went into different Japanese businesses and homes, and my father lived in a Japanese floral shop, and they were trying to intercept messages because they were so afraid that they were going to be in the mainland.
Oh,
so
goodness.
They prepared, and my father, once war was declared upon Hitler and the Germans, he went from California to the port of New York, and my father actually went over on the Queen Mary. And he was assigned to the 120th AAA Gun Battalion, so which was part of the anti-aircraft division for under the Third Army under General Patton. So he went over on the Queen Mary, and as my father said, there was a storm of at sea on the Queen Mary, and had said that on Christmas Eve that literally the Queen Mary, because the stabilizers were taking off, it actually, the Queen Mary rolled on its side and the propellers would come out of the water and shake the entire ship.
Oh, gosh, I can only imagine.
So my father got seasick earlier. He was on the main deck because, or, you know, above deck because he was in charge of the anti-aircraft guns on the Queen Mary. And his men were below. And so afterwards, he, Christmas Day, later in the day, he went to check on his men. And he said, literally, the entire army was so sick. So he got, you know, over to England. He was actually, quote unquote, into Scotland. They had departed New York on December the 23rd, 1943, and landed in England. My father has a funny story that goes with it. Being a supply sergeant at the time, he had every type of truck or jeep that was going over to Europe loaded with a carton, and in that carton had oil and rags and jumper cables and tools and oil and whatever they would need in case something broke down. But the port of New York, his commander said to him, you know, Garen, we have all this stuff waiting for us in England, and made my dad take everything off every single vehicle. They got to New York, and my dad said they had nothing waiting for them, not even toilet paper. So my dad had to barter toilet paper for 300 men. So each man got two sheets of toilet paper for 300 men.
Oh, my.
Which was next to nothing. So he had
We can relate to that right now, I think.
So he had a lot of memorable stories. He loved being in England. And my father was at day two of D-Day, and my father was at Utah Beach.
Goodness, those are really important stories. I'm sure you're very, very proud of him.
Right, and he went he went to Cherbourg. My father was in the Battle of the Bulge, all the way to the liberation of Dachau and Buchenwald. And my father reenacted the story and told me 6 months before he passed of the story of them coming across Buchenwald. But and how Patton had the march everybody in from the village and help bury every single prisoner of war or liberate them to their health and their aid. But I do have a letter from General Patton, if you would allow me to read it. I think it's ever so important. My father loved General Patton, as the men did of the 120th AAA Gun Battalion. As my father said, General Patton was a soldier's a soldier's soldier.
Right. And yes, please do. Go ahead. So this letter is from General Patton to your dad?
This is to the men of the Third Army, the soldiers of the Third Army, past and present. So it is written from headquarters of the Third Army, APO 403, General Orders Number 98. It was written on May the 9th, 1945. It is dedicated to the soldiers of the Third Army, past and present. Here goes. During the 281 days of incessant victorious combat, your penetrations have advanced farther in less time than any other army in history. You have fought your way across 24 major rivers and innumerable lesser streams. You have liberated or conquered more than 82,000 square miles of territory, including 1,500 cities and towns and some 12,000 inhabited places. Prior to the termination of active hostilities, you had captured in battle 956,000 enemy soldiers and killed or wounded more than 500,000. France, Belgium, Luxembourg, Germany, Austria, and Czechoslovakia bear witness to your exploits. All the men and women of 6 corps and 39 divisions that have a that have at different times been members of this Army have done their duty. Each deserves credit. The enduring value of combat troops has been paralleled and made possible by the often unpublished activities of the supply, administrative, and medical services of this Army and the communication zone troops supporting it. Nor should we forget our comrades of the armies and of the Air Force, particularly of the 19th Tactical Air Command, by whose side and under whose wings we have done honor to fight. In proudly contemplating our achievements, let's never forget our heroic dead whose graves mark the course of our victorious advances, nor our wounded whose sacrifice aided so much in our success. I should be both grateful and wanting in candor if I fail to acknowledge the debt we owe our commanders-in-chief, Generals Gaffey and Gray, and the officers and men of the general and special staff sections and Army headquarters. Without their loyalty, intelligence, and unremitting labors, success would not have been possible. The termination of fighting in Europe does not remove the opportunities for all the outstanding and equally difficult achievements days which were to come. In some ways, the immediate future will demand of you more fortitude than the past, because without the inspiration of combat, you must maintain by your dress, deportment, and efficiency, not only the prestige of the Third Army, but also the honor of the United States. I have complete confidence you will not fail. During the course of the war, I have received promotions and decorations for above and beyond my individual merit. You won them. I, as your representative, wear them. The one honor which is mine, and mine alone, is that of having commanded such an incomparable group of Americans, the record whose fortitude, audacity, and valor will endure as long as history lasts. General Patton, U.S. Commanding Army.
Wow. What a great letter to have about your dad.
Yeah. Oh,
and all the rest of them, of course, in the Third Army. So thank you very much, Michelle, for sharing that with us. Your father's name is Joseph Guerin. And wow, that's just a great story. Thank you very much for calling in. I'd like to find out more about that. So I'll have to get a hold of you at another time.
Yes, there is actually a whole document. There's many pages, and literally there was a story that was written every day from the time they left California to the day they came home, which was in October of 1945.
Wow. Well, we'll check into that. I'll be getting in touch with you. Thank you very much for calling, especially
yes,
on this Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day to all.
All right. Okay, we're here on Veterans Radio, and it's Father's Day, and we're trying to find out about your dad's service. What branch was he in? What did he do? Where was he? So many of these men were shipped all over the world, especially during World War II, but even today, these men are just everywhere. And so I wanted, hopefully we can get some more current fathers if we can. But right now I've got a call here from Dexter, Michigan, and it's a gentleman named John. So, John, welcome to Veterans Radio.
How's it going?
Going pretty well. How are you? Happy Father's Day.
Yeah, my dad passed last May, and he was in the Army. He was born in 25, so I think he got drafted in 43. And from what she, or what it sounded like, the boat ride over on the Queen Mary, mm-hmm. he was on that boat. He said it was so rough. Everybody was sick, and then he finally, once everybody got sick, he got sick. But, yeah, he carried a recoilless rifle. I, to this day, don't know what that is. Is that like a bazooka? Or
I was a pilot. I don't know myself. I'm sure that somebody out there could fill us in on what a recoilless rifle is, really.
Recoilless rifle and the M1 Grand.
Oh, okay. The M1 I am familiar with.
Yes, that was his weapon. And I know the training in Texas, and the one thing you really mentioned was the boat ride over there was just a nightmare.
Yeah, I would think so. That kind of, that's so amazing, though, if they were on the same boat, wouldn't that be kind of strange?
I don't know how many other times Queen Mary ran into rough water like that, but he said it was so bad, and he drafted in probably September of 43. He would have been 18. I don't know how long basic training was then. Was it 6 weeks?
I don't know. It was 8 when I went in. I think it's 10 now.
10? But I mean, in wartime, I'm sure it wasn't. And, I mean, he was pretty much right off the farm, so he was in pretty good shape. And I don't think those guys were counting on these guys coming off the farm. I mean, there wasn't no triggering or safe spaces. Those guys knew what they were doing and took care of business. And I just can't believe what we've turned into in America, but that's...
That's for another program. Then we're talking about our dads, and I see also that you had a question about receiving an American flag.
I called a funeral home and they never got back to me up in Alpena, and okay. I know I don't have his discharge paperwork. And
next
flag to some guy who didn't deserve it.
And okay, well, actually, next week we do a program on...
It does deserve it.
Hold on, John. Next week we're doing a program on benefits, and you could probably either shoot me an email to dale@veteransradio.net, and we'll track down that information and make sure we can get you a flag. All right?
dale@veteransradio.net?
Yep. You know, I'll see with that. Or, you know, if you're in Dexter, you might stop by the American Legion Hall there across from the A&W, and they might be answering the question. The American Legion has a whole big deal to do with flags.
Gaylord Post. He was at the Alpena Post, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, well, you got to go through their post. And I tried to get them to come down for the funeral. We had the funeral was a little bit late because my sisters were out west in Vegas and Montana. But they... Problem most of these people are they're getting up there in age and they couldn't get down here. That was at Alpena.
Well, John, we'll take care of that for you. Just shoot me that email and we'll find a flag for you, okay?
Thank you.
All right. We're moving right along here on Veterans Radio. This is Father's Day. We're asking that you give us a call. If you have a story about your dad, where did he serve? What did he do? What branch of the service was he in? And I've got one here. I'm going to take a real quick break here as I'm thinking about this. We got a break here toward the bottom of the hour. So we're going to take a short break, and then we'll be right back. And I've got a couple of emails that were sent to me about dads. So you're listening to Veterans Radio, and we will be right back.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them. A father and his son were both awarded the Medal of Honor. Details after this. First Lieutenant Arthur MacArthur was awarded the Medal of Honor for seizing the colors of his regiment at a critical moment and planting them on the captured works on the crest of Missionary Ridge, Tennessee, November 25th, 1863. His son, General Douglas MacArthur, was awarded the Medal of Honor for conspicuous leadership in preparing the Philippine Islands to resist conquest, for gallantry above and beyond the call of duty in action against invading Japanese forces, and for the heroic conduct of defensive and offensive operations on the Bataan Peninsula. His utter disregard of personal danger under heavy fire and aerial bombardment, his calm judgment in each crisis, inspired his troops, galvanized the spirit of resistance of the Filipino people, and confirmed the faith of the American people in their armed forces. The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
Hey, this is Kix Brooks. Thousands of veterans are homeless and living on the streets of our nation tonight. Streets where they're being beaten and robbed, even killed. Let's take care of our own. Please join me in housing 1,000 veterans as fast as possible. Make a pledge to VeteransMatter.org. Text VETS to 41444 and pledge any amount. Text VETS to 41444. They fought for us, now we fight for them. Veterans Matter.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
And we're back here on Veterans Radio, and it's our Father's Day program, so we encourage you to give us a call and tell us about what your dad did while he was in the service. The number is 734-822-1600, 734-822-1600. Earlier on in the program, we had Kevin Walsh on from the Yankee Air Museum, and they were offering, selling gift certificates for the rides on the various aircraft as a great gift for fathers on Father's Day. And I just got this in. It's like a news flash. This is from an organization called Move America Forward, and it's supporting our troops on the front lines. And what they do is they send care packages to veterans overseas. And today is happy. It says, Happy Father's Day. We salute military dads. Today is Father's Day, and it's not too late to do something nice for military dads out there. Many military dads are spending today overseas, unable to see their sons and daughters. Whether sons serving overseas, making their fathers proud, or dads serving to protect their families, we pray for the safety and success of all of our troops this Father's Day. So take the time today to honor the thousands of military families who spent Father's Day away from each other. Because dad is thousands of miles away fighting for the USA, all our troops deserve our love and support. Why not say thanks by sending a thoughtful care package full of great food and personal items? And that says, send a care package today. And for more information, you can just go to moveamericaforward.org. That's moveamericaforward.org. What a great way. Care packages from home were always the best thing. They were the best. Because you know that people haven't forgotten you. And I think that that's what's really important. So I encourage you, check out moveamericaforward.org, and maybe you can make a donation to help send out a couple of care packages to people that need them. All right. So I've got this Father's Day story here from. Okay. This is from a gentleman. His name is Ken Kimmins. And Ken sent me an email saying my dad was a veteran. And it says, my dad spent 30 years in the United States Navy. He was a CB during World War II in Korea. He obtained his commission and served as a Civil Engineer Corps officer during the Vietnam era. This is three wars. This is a dad that wasn't home a lot. Wow. He made sure that we were taken care of and watched out for us, especially my younger sister, who had Down syndrome. He swore me into the United States Air Force in 1974. He also swore my oldest brother in the United States Navy and did his reenlistment oaths. I love him and miss him very much. He did not talk about his time at war, just like so many other combat veterans. Thank you for talking about this. He says his father's name was Victor H. Kimmins, K-I-M-M-O-N-S, and it would be an honor for you to mention it on your program today. I forgot to mention that he rose from the rank from E1 to O5. Wow, that's like nothing. Up to O5. Is that, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's second, first, captain, major, lieutenant colonel, right? I hope so. At that time, a limited duty officer could not go above 05, or he would have gone higher. Thank you from a Navy brat and Air Force veteran for doing this program today. Thank you very much for Ken for sending this out to us as we give a shout out to the family of Victor H. Kimmins. Thank you very much. Got one more here, a tribute to dad. I want you guys to give us a call out there. Come on. If you're listening in, let us know what your dad did in the service. The number again is 734-822-1600. This is a tribute from Frank L. Vance IV. It was sent to me. It says to honor his dad, Frank L. Vance III. People like my father and all soldiers make me very proud to be an American. My father, Frank L. Vance III, was a World War II glider pilot. He was in the Army Air Corps 9th Corps 442nd, I don't know what all these letters mean from World War II. Anyway, 442nd and the 306th. He flew CG-4A gliders and C-47s in Holland, France, Belgium, and Germany. His main mission was Operation Market Garden. Many British and American men died in that battle. He received the Air Combat Medal for his service. He was my hero and my best friend. He always said that heroes were the ones who gave their lives during war. He said he was not a hero. Doesn't that sound like so many of our fathers from that generation? I was not a hero. People that didn't come home were the heroes. I always thought he and all the men like him were heroes. My dad passed on December 30th, 2013, and I'd like to share a poem I wrote a few weeks after he died. It's called Soldier's Pain. So here is the poem, and I apologize for my reading it, Frank. This is by Frank Vance IV. Soldier's Pain. He is my eternal flame. Many have come before and after, but they are all the same. Young boys protecting the world and always taking the blame. They didn't ask to be in this situation, but do their job because they love their nation. They never have time to cry or be afraid, something we take for granted every day. I owe a great amount of appreciation because my father was part of the greatest generation. There's a place in my heart for all the families that are mentally and physically so far apart. Many lose their life and some come home to their wives. The ones that are sane settle back in society and sustain, but the ones that gave and saw pain will never be the same. If they make it back sane, I think they wonder why we all complain. So if you see a soldier, give them a handshake and a hug, because freedom is not free and they sacrifice everything for you and me. We will never know a soldier's pain because they risk and give their lives for our gain. As by Frank L. Vance IV, or his dad, Frank L. Vance III. Thank you very much, Frank. A lovely poem. Thank you. So give us a call. Tell us about your dad. As I said before, you know, it's important that we recognize, you know, many of our fathers were away. Some of them were away when we were born. Some of us were born shortly thereafter, as was mentioned in a song that I listened to today. It was done by John Prine, and it's called My Old Man. And it's a song written by a gentleman named Steve Goodman. And I encourage you, if you ever get the opportunity, to listen to this song. It's just called My Old Man by Steve Goodman. It brought tears to my eyes. This is why I'm not playing it during the program today, because it would wreck me if I heard it again. So let me tell you, if you're not going to call me, I'm going to tell you a little bit about my dad. And my dad's name was William Clifton Thornberry, better known as Cliff to the civilian world and as Bill to the Coast Guard world. He joined the Coast Guard in 1943 at the age of 38 years old, and he joined the Coast Guard because he was going to be drafted. They were drafting up until the age of 40 at that time, and he just said, I was too old, and he said, and I don't run anymore. So he figured he'd join the Coast Guard to guard the coast. And he did. Well, it wasn't really the coast of the United States. He picked up his, he was on an LST, which is a better known as a long, I forget the, it's a tank, or Navy tank. Anyway, he called it a long, slow target. The thing is about 300 feet long, or 300 yards long, and it's got a flat bottom, and you carry supplies and troops in the bottom of this ship, and it would go up onto the beaches. The front of it would open, and jeeps and people would come running out. So anyway, so he picked up his LST in New Orleans, Louisiana, in 1944, and he sailed through the Panama Canal out to Hawaii, and from Hawaii they eventually ended up out in the Pacific in the January and February of 1945. So in February of 1945, I have to go back in this story a little bit. The Coast Guard was under the control of the Navy during that time period. And so they just participated in all the Navy amphibious landings and so on and so forth. In February, the ship he was on was part of the resupply teams on Iwo Jima. And we have this great picture of his LST on the beaches of Iwo Jima with the front opened up, and it is a jeep driving out, which is kind of a cool story in itself. I have to remind you, my father never told me these stories, and I'll get to that in a second, how I learned all this. From Iwo Jima, they went off next to participate in the invasion of Okinawa. And on April 8th, 1945, while they were offshore of Okinawa, they were hit by a kamikaze plane, and the ship caught on fire, and the crew had to abandon ship. And so Dad evidently dove into the Pacific Ocean out of sight of land. Can you imagine that one? You know, we heard all about the Queen Mary. Now you're in the water. So the ship didn't blow up and sink right away, and they asked for volunteers, and my dad went back on the ship to try and control the fires and so forth. And they found that the fuel for the ship is what was the explosion, and all of the Marines who were down below deck in the hull of the ship had died as a result of the explosion. Their ship was towed around the opposite side of Okinawa once they got the fires out. And the night that they were there, the security guards were walking the deck of the LST. You know, they would start together and then they would walk all the way around the ship, meet up on the other side, turn around and come back. And the story was that one time when they came back and they were standing there, you know, just talking and getting ready to turn around, one of them was killed by a sniper. I learned all this because about 15 years ago, we did a program on the Coast Guard, and we got a call, and it was one of my dad's shipmates. And he called up, and he said, really old voice, because my dad would be, holy smokes, he'd be 110 or something about now. And he says, Dale, this is so-and-so. I knew your dad. And I'm going, what? And he says, yeah, no, I knew Bill Thronberry. And that's where I said, Bill, I don't know Bill. But he says, yeah, I did. And it turns out that his son, who's my age, had started up a website for the LST crew of the LST 884. They didn't have names yet. And I learned that from another petty officer a couple of weeks ago when he said that they didn't name their LSTs until after World War II. So he's on this LST. Anyway, his son sent me a whole bunch of pictures, and pictures that I'd never seen of my dad. And unfortunately, my dad died when he was 57, and I was 15, and so I didn't get to hear these stories. But now I know the whole story, and this is one of the reasons that we wanted to do this today. Even if you don't call in, tell your kids about your dad or your grandfather or anybody else who might have been in the service. I think that's something that's really, really important. And it's not that, you know, we're glorifying war and so forth, but I had great grandfathers that were in the Civil War. I had one that was on the Union side, and he was from Ohio, and he was in the 22nd Ohio voluntary thing, and he ended up going down through Georgia with General Sherman on Sherman's March to the Sea. We have a little bit more information about him. And he was a German immigrant, so, you know, he's fighting in a war he didn't even have to really fight in, but he felt the cause was important. My other great-grandfather was from Tennessee, and he was in the Confederate Army. And again, it was a volunteer army, or I'm not sure if he volunteered or not. He wasn't really quite that familiar because he was from a very, very small town, a very, very small town in Tennessee, Normandy, Tennessee, which is south of Murfreesboro, which is the battle that he was involved in. And his very first battle he got involved in, they got overrun. He got captured. The Union officers said, okay, you've got two choices here. Number one, you can swear your allegiance to the Union, or you can go to, you know, prisoner of war camp. And my great-grandfather supposedly said, well, I don't have any shoes. My gun doesn't work. I'll just go home. He says, okay, I'm with you guys. So he swore allegiance and went home, and that's all we ever heard about him. But he was involved in a couple of major battles in Tennessee. So, this is what is important, and this is why we tell these stories here on Veterans Radio, and why we encourage you, all you veterans that are listening right now, is to sit down at some point and talk to your children, talk to your relatives, and let them know what you're up to. Let them know what you did, and what being in the service really meant to you. Because I can tell you from my experience, as I've gotten older, that time period in my life has become more and more important. And I got a text that says, did you tell them about Frank Vance? Yes, I did. I did that. All this modern technology, it doesn't even let you keep the thing going. So we encourage you to tell stories. And this is what we want to do here on Veterans Radio, is to continue to tell the stories of America's veterans, male and female. We're doing a program on women military veterans in July. We're going to be doing another story on service dogs, since we know that service dogs is a very popular topic with many of you out there. So we're going to be doing that. And we're also going to be doing one on the, as I mentioned, next week is a benefits program. So we encourage you to contact us with your stories. We're always looking for story ideas that we can use on the program. And it looks like I've got about 2 or 3 minutes left to do that. We're going to go out on a song. And he's on the phone right now. This technology is great because I'm watching the guy in the studio from my studio at home. Anyway, the we're going out on a song by Michael J. Martin, who was one of my favorite veteran troubadours. And he's got a song called When Daddy Comes Home. And so it's kind of a story about from the opposite side of that kind of, experience level there. You know, we never quite think about our families when we're overseas because we're kind of occupied with other things at the time. And so this is what a song that he dedicated to his daughter. And Michael J. Martin's music is available, by the way, online, and you can track it down if you want to. So anyway, I was talking about the benefits program next week, and we're going to be talking about healthcare, veterans healthcare, and also about disability benefits. As you know, one of our major sponsors is Legal Help for Veterans. And even during this whole pandemic shutdown and so forth, I know Legal Help and all the other disability people out there have been working hard to keep your paperwork going because everything involves so much paperwork. But, start to reach out. As the gentleman asked earlier about how to get a flag, I think that maybe your county veteran service office can probably help you out wherever you may be located. So we encourage you to listen to Veterans Radio, send us your questions, send us your stories. We would love to have you on the air. I greatly appreciate the people that sent us the emails today. It's so unusual to have people tell stories about their dads. I think this is really, really great. I was talking to another a World War II veteran I've got to talk to again soon. I've got to make sure I get these World War II veterans on the program. So we got a minute left. Let me wrap this whole thing up for you all. We greatly appreciate, as I mentioned, you listening to Veterans Radio today. And to remind you that Veterans Radio is now a nonprofit organization. We are a 501c3. We encourage you to go to our website, veteransradio.net, and click on Support Us. We also ask you to leave your comments on today's program on our website, and so that we can find out what is going on. If you like the program, if you didn't like the program, what can we do to improve the program? What is it that you want to hear? That's what we want to do. So I'm going to let this go, and I'm going to stretch out just a little bit here. It's easy said. All right. So you've been listening to Veterans Radio. Veterans Radio is a production of Veterans Radio America. And remember, Veterans Radio America is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Until next time, you are dismissed.
When your daddy comes home, honey, we're gonna throw our arms around him. Our whole family will surround him and hold him tight. Then we'll bring him on home, honey. Show the picture you drew for him. Say a prayer and thank the Lord he's home alive. But it's gonna take time to heal. Have to keep in mind what he's been through. Just believe it will be fine someday. When your daddy comes home, your daddy comes home, honey. He may want to be alone. He may go off on his own. Sometimes what we need to know, honey, is that we've done nothing wrong. It's just a war that he has known. Still on his mind, and it's gonna take time to heal. Ooh. And we have to keep in mind what he's been. When your daddy comes home, when your daddy comes home, we're gonna throw our arms around him. Our whole family will surround him. Hold him tight when your daddy comes home.